And we are back, 7:30. State Senator Ken LaValle a little bit later on. Jeff Geo as well, mapping out 2020 from a political standpoint. Jeremy Mutchler, New York Cancer and Blood. First, though, we'll lead it off with the fine assemblyman out of District 15. His name is Mike Montesano. We've had him on way back regarding the New York American Water saga, which maybe we can kind of touch upon that for a minute or two a bit later. But always a welcomed addition. Sir, how are you? And Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you very much, Jay.
Great to have you. I tell you, Mike, you're right in the middle of it with this bail reform stuff. It is out of control right now. You know, every day is another example. And you know, this Jordan Randolph case, I mean, how worse can it get as far as the legislature is concerned when you have an individual who's been in and out of jail for driving under the influence and fatally killing a guy in the William Floyd last Sunday? I mean, in and out, no ankle bracelet in county court in Nassau. It's unbelievable what's going on here. But the Randolph case is a prime example.
And there's several other cases that happened upstate New York that have involved in the same thing. We had an illegal immigrant hit a woman and kill her and flee the scene. He was apprehended. He was out of court before her children were even notified that she was dead. So we're seeing these problems. We had another woman by domestic violence killed, and the guy was out of jail hours later because it was a manslaughter charge. And, you know, they're just the Speaker of the Assembly is sitting on this. He refuses to move. We've got the leader of the Senate, Stuart Cousins, is amenable to making some amendments. The governor has stepped forward finally. I mean, he owns this, Jay. He created this monster. He stuck it in the budget to give cover to the members of his party to vote on it and say, well, we didn't see it. We didn't know. And now he's in Puerto Rico while we're having this dangerous situation continue on a daily basis here in New York. So
here's
it has to be addressed.
Mike, let's not forget Carl Hastie, who makes plenty of wasty up there in Albany. I'll tell you that much. You know, I have a big problem with the speaker up there who is never in tune with what needs to be done. You know, if I got to hear again his comment, you know, well, we're only 14 days into this thing. Let's give it a chance. What? For more criminal activity and more murders and more deaths to take place?
And that's just what is this mayhem. And I just want to bring something out to you and your listeners. When this was being discussed amongst the governor and the people in the legislature, he did not disclose. There was a report that they wanted, that they commissioned, the Justice Task Force recommendation report on bail reform came out February 2019, and as you know, our budget comes out April of 19. And they made recommendations in this report along the lines of what the Republicans have been talking about constantly. And with the bail reform initiatives, they set guidelines on giving judges discretion and when to set bail and how to set bail on misdemeanors and everything. He never disclosed this, never shared it, and did not consider the training requirements that they recommended, the funding requirements that they recommended. He just disregarded his own commission's report. And I just want to bring out additionally, Jay, because this is very important for the people to understand. He keeps on saying, the speaker keeps on saying, they did it in New Jersey, the world didn't come to an end. Well, here's the difference between New York and New Jersey. New Jersey implemented this change over a three-year period in gradual steps. They provided funding and training, but most importantly, the judges still have discretion to consider dangerousness in setting bail. And, you know, the chances of the defendant, reoffending, fleeing the jurisdiction, all these things New Jersey has and is given to his judges. None of that exists here in New York. And that's the biggest problem. They just went from one extreme to the other, claiming that people who live in poverty shouldn't have to sit in jail. Well, my opinion is no matter what your income is, you commit a crime, you face the penalties that go with it. It doesn't give you a pass to commit a crime because you have low income or you have no income.
If you don't even have a pot to, you know what it. I don't really give a darn. You have criminal activity going for yourself. Guess what? You're in the slammer. I could care less.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We have the one guy now, he's up to 6 bank robberies in 2 weeks. And he even said on TV, I can't believe they let me out. You know, so I don't know what more they're waiting. We already have death on our hands. You know, there's a lot of blood on the governor's hands. There's blood on the speaker's hands. And there's blood on the Senate's hands.
No one's coming to the forefront on this. And I look at a guy like State Senator Michael Giannaris, Assemblyman Minasano. He was a lead backer of this thing. Let's not forget. Okay? And we called him several times to come on this program. He has yet to answer the call. They want to throw us a couple of attorneys. No way. I don't want attorneys. No. I want Giannaris. And because he's basically stating we're using the verbiage of fear-mongering here. He's also used the word anecdotal. Right. You know, he doesn't understand the examples that are cited on a daily. Let's not forget this 20-year-old, this Maria Campione. You read about this one? In and out, in and out as well. The woman who broke into the school, and she's been in and out of jail 3 or 4 times. Let's not forget that whole deal, okay?
Right, she's committed 3 or 4 offenses within several days.
Come on. We give examples on a daily basis on this thing. Here's the thing. You mentioned New Jersey. Give Jersey credit, because at least they have come back to reality somewhat. 47 states as well, by the way.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's not forget this, okay? And, you know, the biggest, the most egregious portion of this, in my opinion, is you have now stripped judges of their authority here. They don't know what, they wear the robe, but they ask themselves why.
That's
the
correct.
Robe doesn't mean anything in this particular instance. They have no power over this.
That's right. That's right. And it was done intentionally. This is not by accident. It was done intentionally. They have completely broken down the criminal justice system. And they're looking to do even more. The Senate's introducing legislation, and so is the Assembly, to do away with life sentences and to let you out of jail when you reach age 55, as long as you did 15 years of a sentence, no matter what you did. So they're just continually, this is the year of the criminal. That's basically what it is. It's the year of the criminal, no consideration for the victims. And what Giannaris says, you know, we're just fear-mongering. We're not fear-mongering. Every one of these things are facts. There's law enforcement records to back it up. There's news accounts to back it up. And even with the stunt they pulled here in Nassau County and in Suffolk County, just before the new year, we indicated we had numbers of over 300 people would be released from the Nassau County Jail. And they're telling us we're making it up. Well, what the county executive did starting in November was ordering the release of people 30 a week. So about time January 1st rolled around, the last 30 came out, and they said, you see, it's only 30 people, it's not 300, and that's false. And the corrections union president will tell you the same thing that would happen and the same thing in Nassau. So the Democrats are playing their game of making us look like we're the fearmongers, or we're just making stuff up, when it's all factual and happening. And that's what I think the public has to begin to understand, and I think they are beginning to understand. You know, because when we see social media and we see everything else going on and the hundreds of emails that we get on a regular basis about this, but the public needs to push the governor. They need to push the Speaker of the Assembly on this. They own this, and they have to be accountable to everyone on it.
Hasty is, I tell you, he's turning his back on everything here.
Yeah,
that's the guy who bought it. Listen, at least Cuomo acknowledge if de Blasio, Mike, acknowledges the most liberal guy on the planet. You talk about progressive politics. If de Blasio acknowledges the flaws, what does that tell you? But Carl Hasty will turn his back on anything here. That's what bothers me. Hasty is the guy.
And what's interesting, Jay, is he covers a good portion of the Bronx, and the people in that borough are the victims the same way. I mean, he's talking about minority communities being adversely affected. They're the ones that are the victims of many of these crimes. They're victimized every day, and you can't do anything for them. And listen, here's another dangerous component. Let's talk about domestic violence victims. They call the police. The person's taken into custody for beating them up or whatever the case may be. They're out in several hours. That person's victimized again. Under the old system, that guy was out of commission for at least 72 hours, and they could get the person into a protective shelter or move them around and, you know, keep them away from the defendant. Today, they don't have that ability anymore, and we're starting to see the ramifications of that. And you see what happened on Long Island the last 2 weeks or so. The federal authorities and our local officials went out, locked up 97 MS-13 gang members. 74 of them walked out the door. And what do you think? You think they're coming back to court for all the charges that they're facing, manslaughter, drugs, assault, weapons? You think they're coming back to court? You know, and this is the problem that, you know, nobody realizes, that these people are walking on the streets, and they'll track those witnesses down, and they'll kill them or intimidate them. And this is the problem that we're confronted with. There's a lot of unintended consequences. And let me tell you this one. You know, Muncie, that unfortunate situation that happened on Hanukkah, the governor's making a big spectacle about it. You know, if that man was charged locally under state law with that offense, he would have been out of jail in several hours. Knowing that there'd be a riot on the street of Muncie's if that happened, the governor, no doubt in my mind, influenced the feds to step in and charge this guy because their bail system works differently, and he's sitting in jail.
You're right. You're listening to Assemblyman Mike Montesano of the 15th District. You know, I've stated all along, this is a real-life version of The Purge, the movie, Mike.
Right,
Purge
right.
Number three. Purge 3, I think it is. This is The Purge, ladies and gentlemen. That's where people are let out of jail and are committing these heinous acts all over again. And that's the problem. And, you know, you mentioned the PBA guy, the president of the corrections. We had him on.
Right. Right.
Forget three. Forget 20. You know, I love the way the numbers change. They said
right.
29. Prior to that, they said 300. And guess
right.
what? More like 600. Because right. a lot of these guys were let out on November the 1st.
That's correct.
Okay? That's the reality of it. Judges said, you know what? You're going to be out anyway. Get out now.
Right.
It is unbelievable. And don't let anybody tell you about overcrowding in jails, because quite frankly, that's not the case. That's not the case anymore. It's the opposite.
No.
It's the opposite.
That's correct.
Okay? It's the opposite. So let's keep that in mind as well. And I'll say this. Go ahead, Mike. Finish your thought.
Jay, I got to put out something to you that's very important for the listeners to know. Just this materialized. We found out about it yesterday. It's been going on now for a little bit of time. The governor turned around and made all law enforcement agencies, he wants them to sign an agreement that they're not going to disclose any of the DMV, you know, their car stops and DMV information with ISIS. That if they do so, he's going to revoke their access to the DMV records. So now we'll have police officers out on the road stopping a car, and they can't run the person's license, registration, or check them for warrants, because he shut down the DMV system if they won't sign the agreement. And many law enforcement agencies will not sign it. The man is obstructing, you know, federal law, and he's obstructing the police officers from doing their job. Every day it gets more and more ridiculous how much they're doing for the criminal and not for the citizens and the victims.
You need a complete repeal here. I don't want to listen. I'm looking at all these little tweaks. You know, one in particular that got me yesterday, I'm sure you saw it, State Senator Anna Kaplan, mm-hmm. you know, with his mental health stuff now.
Right.
She wants to at least have judges use that discretion if one is incapable of functioning
right.
outside of prison. Are you kidding me? Let me ask you something. And by the way, I look forward to having you. Please let her be on, Senator Kaplan. But I got to tell you, she's coming on at 8 o'clock tomorrow. But I will say this. Is anyone of the right mind if they are involved in criminal activity? I mean, how do you determine that? How do you possibly determine that? If you're robbing businesses, or if you're committing, you know, murder, or if you're stealing from an 80-year-old woman, isn't it all the same? Isn't it all part of criminal activity? So how do you possibly use discretionary judgment if one is of mental capacity
right.
to be in or out of prison? I don't get that one. I mean, are we covering up the fact now that we have stripped judges, so we're trying to at least install something there? I mean, come on.
Right.
How ridiculous is that?
And she was a proponent of this bail reform law, and now she realizes, you know, the mistakes they made. One of the discretion judges had, okay, is, and they still have it, basically, and that's what I think she's trying to point to, is if a defendant is brought before a judge and the judge from looking at what's in front of him and looking at the defendant and hearing what the prosecution has to say, he can remand the defendant for what they call a 730 exam. It's a mental examination to see if they're psychologically fit, and they can remand them up to 30 days in the jail. But the judge has to really establish a record as to why he's doing that. You just can't do it. And mental health is a severe problem out there. We have a lot of people out there with mental health conditions. They do commit crimes. They commit assaults. They push people in front of trains. But they shouldn't be walking on the streets either. And we've taken a lot of that discretion away from the judges. To say that because someone's mentally sick, they shouldn't be held on bail or held for some examination or further review by the court is wrong. They just don't want to see anybody sitting in jail pending prosecution. And listen, Jay, I'll be the first to tell you, from being a defense attorney and former police officer and detective, I will tell you this. Did we need to have some tweaks in the bail law and the discovery law? Most certainly. There's no doubt about it. It hasn't been touched, and I can't tell you in how many years. So, yes, but they had no public hearings. They didn't want to hear what the DAs have to say. They didn't want to hear what law enforcement had to say. They didn't want to hear from anybody. They just brought in their own people that were activists on this, heard them complain, and they passed this archaic law. And that is what needs to be done. The governor needs to, right now, issue an executive order, and he could do it from Puerto Rico. He can issue an executive order putting a moratorium on this law, and let's go back to the drawing board and start from scratch, have a public hearings, hear from all the stakeholders, and redo this.
They don't want to do it because they don't want to. They don't want to basically say we were wrong.
Well, of course not.
Hasty, Stuart Cousins, and the entire lot of them, they do not want to admit wrongdoing in this. And I'll tell you something. What they need to do immediately is give these judges discretion to consider public safety, no matter what the charges. You must give these judges the power. And I'll tell you another thing. You also have to reverse, Mike, the presumption on this rapid disclosure of victim and witness information. Nobody's talking about that.
That's
but,
right.
You know, their names and identifying information should be redacted until defense attorneys make the case why they need to know at the start of the process.
Because we're going to have witness intimidation, victim intimidation. There's no question about it. But also, let's look at it this way. And we've spoken to several DAs, is that now they have people working nights and weekends because they have to have the police have to have the information to the DA in 3 to 4 days. The DA has to have it to the defense attorney in 15 days. Some of this is virtually impossible because chemical testing, drug testing, rape kits are never processed within that time frame because of the nature of the testing that's involved. And it's a big problem. Now, judges have a little discretion to extend that testing up to 30 days. But again, sometimes that's not practical. They set it up so people can walk away from the crimes they've committed without punishment. It's intentional. It's not realistic, and they know it, and they've done it intentionally.
Mike, they set this up for the defense attorneys. They have now let the defense attorneys game the entire system.
Yep,
that's what's been going on here. By
all
coming up the words
until
the prosecution says, you know what, hands up, I can't do it anymore. That's what they have let happen right now, the defense attorneys.
And you want to see the biggest insult? So now if a man goes into a house and rapes a woman in a house and he's arrested, he's allowed to go back to that woman's house with his attorney and visit it because it's a crime scene and walk through that person's house again. The same thing with burglars and everything else. They're allowed to come back into your property, walk through your property, okay, with their attorney to go over the crime scene. Now, you want to talk about an ultimate insult, you know, and this is what they've done to create an atmosphere, to create a chilling effect. People are not going to report crimes anymore. They're not going to report them. They talk about, well, let's help out the immigrant communities because they're fearful for coming forward to the police when they're victimized. They're certainly not coming forward now, not when the guy gets grabbed and he's on the street within hours and he's going back to kill them or maim them for what they did, especially in the case of MS-13. You know how brutal they are. They get wind of who complained about them or who's going to be a witness against them. They're as good as dead. So it's an intentional thing. I'm telling you, this is the year of the criminal.
I'll say this. You know, we had Sheriff Toulon on yesterday, Suffolk County, Mike.
Yep.
He knows the deal regarding these gangs.
Right.
He knows.
He's very knowledgeable.
And I'll say that once again, these minor tweaks are not remotely enough here. Every aspect, and I mean every aspect of this new law, needs attention right now. And and this time, you have to have the full input of the state DAs.
Yes.
Also, the NYPD, other law enforcement, every law enforcement agency out there, you have to have input in. I'm sorry.
Yep.
You know, right now, cops are afraid to arrest guys.
Of course they are.
What purpose?
Right. I mean, they're jeopardizing their lives. You know, they're putting themselves on the line. And by the time they're done with the paperwork, the guy's walking out of the courthouse. I'm telling you, the case upstate, they killed the woman. They had the records of how it played out. And when he was released, that man was out by 10 o'clock in the morning, and that woman's kids didn't even know she was dead yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, I just can't believe you hear these stories. And we had a press conference in Albany yesterday, and she came to speak at the press conference, as well as did another woman. Her sister was shot in the head and killed, by the assailant. And they claim, oh, it's a manslaughter charge. It's not a murder charge. They walked the guy out the door. How do you do that? And, there's the kids there. And, I mean, it was horrendous. It was right on Christmas Day, But they don't care. So I'm talking about when you look at who the victims are, it's the very people that they're alleging they're trying to help. If you're low income, if you're a minority, those are the exact people that are being victimized, and they have no place to go.
Poster boy for all this is Jordan Randolph, the Bellport guy. Okay, released in and out, killed the guy in the William Floyd. I'll tell you who the poster girl is. Tiffany Harris.
Tiffany Harris,
Mike?
Yeah.
Allegedly hit a group of Orthodox women while yelling profanities. She was let go. Next day, allegedly hit someone else, let go again. This is a woman who's been arrested at least a dozen times. At least.
Right.
I mean, if that's not a prime, with all this, with the anti-Semitic attacks and everything else, another prime example there. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, you have to have a complete repeal here. I'm sorry. You have to.
Yes. And the governor, before pending that repeal, because it's going to be slow to get because of Hasty, he should be issuing a moratorium immediately to put this on hold so we could get the repeal through and go revisit this again. And let me tell you, the biggest obstructionist to this, too, from the members of the assembly, is many of those out of New York City. They don't want to budge. They don't want to budge. This was their big victory, so they think. But this here is not going to help them. Their own residents, their own constituents, are becoming the victims of this very law.
Senator Gianaris is a lead guy in this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And none of these people want to face the music by coming on air. They don't want to face the music.
No.
And
no.
I'll say this, let's not forget, this is an election year.
Right.
Right? The state
every
senators
our,
and assembly.
Right.
All every of one, be careful here.
Every one of our Nassau County senators voted for this. Every one of them voted for this, and several of them in Suffolk.
Jim Gorin and everybody.
Yeah.
And enough. I'm telling you, we will pinpoint, we will cite, we will get them on, we will hold their feet to the flames.
We have to.
Until this thing is repealed. Now, fourth thing before I have to let you go.
Right.
You know, this New York American Waters situation.
Right.
I mean, what else could happen wrong for these fine folks on the North Shore there? I mean, now Liberty Utilities buys it. They're in all the states. We cited a case in Missoula, Montana. My goodness.
Right.
I mean, it goes on and on and on here.
Right.
The improprieties and everything else. When are people going to wake up? I'm still waiting for Letitia James to come through with some sort of an answer in these investigations. And by the way, is there a Madeline Singer sighting? Outside of being reelected to the DA post in Nassau, can she give me a comment regarding this investigation? Nobody's coming through with anything here, Mike. What's the latest?
Well, most recently, I've had two correspondents to the Public Service Commission regarding this proposed transaction to Liberty. And we've got an acknowledgement. We've asked for public hearings, local public hearings, on this proposed acquisition, and one of the things I addressed is I didn't want American Water, if the sale was ultimately approved, to get out from under with the penalties that they're being that they've been subjected to, that they have to start paying, you know, to the ratepayers, and the fines and penalties and everything else, but also for the PSC to scrutinize very closely this Liberty and its performance in other jurisdictions. To me, from what I've seen, they have very little experience in public water. They have experience in other types of utilities, but very limited experience in public water. Also, to let you know, there's legislation introduced in the Senate. It'll be introduced in the Assembly to create the Public Water Authority up here on the North Shore to knock out the private water company, whether it be Liberty or American Water, to create a Public Water Authority to take over. And so this way there's no taxes, so that brings, you know, the people's water's bill down by about 50%. So that's got to work its way through the legislature to implement that and to either take the asset by eminent domain or to get a bond and to pay you off whoever's owning the utility at that particular point. But there is an acknowledgement by the PSC that they have to conduct these hearings. I've raised the additional concerns, and I know the Village of Seacliff has. So we're just waiting for them. So this deal is not, you know, done. It's not engraved in stone. It's going to be subject to public hearings. And we're asking for those public hearings to be held locally and not so much in Albany the way they always do them. So this way the public down here has the ability to attend and to be heard.
That's all well and good. I got to tell you, you bring up that Public Service Commission. I have no regard for them at all, especially after the National Grid fiasco and everything else. And by the way, they got down on their knees.
Right.
They got down on their knees when they thought that the grid was going to be ousted,
right.
Okay? Let's not forget John Rhodes' role in all of this. I think he should be canned on the spot, in my opinion. Don't forget, the PSC, in my opinion, Mike, has always been silent partners with New York American Water, setting the rates, letting them go by, letting them keep the profits, a portion of. Come on. Let's not forget the role that the Public Service Commission and John Rhodes has had in all of this. He should have been ousted a long time ago, in my opinion.
That's it.
But
on our end, you know, we're doing our best to, you know, to hold them accountable, to expose things, and to put them on the spot so that they can't hide from it. You know, a lot of these things were done before. The public had no knowledge of it. The elected officials had no knowledge of it. So now everybody's monitoring everything. Now they have to publish everything online. And now, you know, we're staying on top of things and we're holding their feet to the fire. And they're going to have to conduct these hearings and they're going to have to analyze in front of the public why it's a good idea for this sale to go through and what Liberty Water is going to bring to the table. Hopefully our legislation is going to go through in a timely manner, and it's not going to be an issue. We're going to be able to take it over and bring the people of Public Water Authority up here on the North Shore.
Just think Liberty is New York American Water 2.0. I hate to say it. You know, the easy fix here, please. Would somebody just merge these fine folks into Jericho's water district? It's a simple fix.
Right.
My goodness, and I hate that. Listen, Mario Cuomo had a similar situation back in 1985, if memory serves me correct. And he did the right thing with Great Neck and everything.
Right.
I mean,
at that time, Tom DiNapoli was the assemblyman there. He introduced the same legislation we're now introducing dealing with American Water. And that's how we created that public water system there. And that's what we're proposing in the legislature, and that's what we're hoping to push through and avoid this whole problem, you know, going forward.
Crazy stuff, Mike Montesano, Assemblyman out of the 15th District. Mike, keep me in the loop on all things that are important regarding this. I know you will, and we'll have you back on soon to discuss as that.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jay.
All right, Mike Montesano. We thank him for raising my blood pressure. In the last 30 minutes.